Blog Talk Radio.
Martial law, new world order, FEMA camps, guillotines, aliens, UFOs, fallen angels, Anunnaki. The Earth will never be the same again. And at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt.
Getting ready to sell their soul for a chance.
and you must choose. Will it be eternal life, or will you choose to lose your soul as you disappear into the midnight?
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you, Lord God. Father, humble our hearts before you, and we pray in Jesus' name that you will just bind in the courts of heaven on each of our behalf, Matthew 5:6. For he who hungers and thirsts for righteousness shall be filled. Father, we pray and we thank you for humility. We ask you to fill us with a sense of humility that goes far beyond our understanding. That humility shall become part of who we are, that we shall become last, and that we will have the faith of a child, that we will also understand, Father God, that our interpretations or our understandings of the scripture may not be accurate. Father, we know we believe sometimes as we read things and feel sometimes as we try to decipher the complexities that are associated with the end times timeline, that it is a certain way because of the way that we've studied it, but because of the way that it was revealed to us and, you know, maybe some other teachings that we had been subject to or books that we have read or people that we have studied under. But we pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, Jesus Christ, our King, and we pray our friend, and we pray our continuous and forever advocate that we can plead your blood even when we are utterly imperfect and we slip and fall. Father, many of us are going through very difficult times, as you know. Many of us are in tears, and I don't think any of us are walking perfectly on the narrow path. Maybe some of us are. We need your help more than ever before. We need your anointing more than ever before. We need your grace to be abundantly and mercifully poured out upon each of our hearts. And more importantly than anything, Lord, as it says in Isaiah 43:25, I believe it is, where you say, Father, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Keep me in remembrance. Let us contend together. Oh, Holy Father, we know that you and our Lord Jesus are one. John 10:30 says that I and the Father are one. But we want to walk in an understanding and in an appropriate level of to examine ourselves and to walk in holiness and righteousness, to understand that should our interpretation or should our understandings of the end times timeline be in error in any way, or could those timelines have been shifted or changed at your will? We do not necessarily understand things the way that we ought, and we oftentimes believe things, and perhaps they're not exactly right, and we should always be humble and always be at the ready. And it is so easy, Father God, for us to slip, to fall, to become discouraged, to become frustrated, possibly even to slip into a state of anxiety, which is all over the Bible, warnings to us to be anxious for nothing but in all things through praise and prayer, and to let our needs be made known to you, Father. But as we see the darkness closing in around us at a rate that I am unfamiliar with, completely, utterly unfamiliar with. And we know that the hordes of hell have been released upon the earth because obviously we see the things that are happening around the world, and it is so, some of it is so utterly awful, unspeakable indeed, things that you just don't even want to restate. But yet at the same time, by virtue of sharing it with our fellow brothers and sisters, we are able to maybe help maybe just one more understand the significance of, or perhaps the lateness of the hour. But yet at the same time, Father God, there's a paradox associated with Ecclesiastes 1:18 and the very, very difficult walk that is not imposed isn't the right word, but the very, very difficult walk that so many of us have to go through in order to be able to serve you, in order to be able to witness to people, in order to be able to just try to plant seeds, to oftentimes the folks don't want to hear it or call us names, that ostracize us, that we're not easily able to be part of churchianity because of perhaps in some cases the lack of things that they ought to be saying that they're not, or their unawareness of the seriousness of the situations that are happening across the world, or their the rapidness that they fall prey to the lies that are coming out of the news media. Father, I would also like to ask you in the name of Jesus that if there are any people that are members of witch covens, live or dead human spirits, any entities of the darkness that listen to this program that have sought to take me out, Father God, that are bringing curses against me in any way, and any of the listeners of this program, Father, I rebuke them in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I cast them into the, in Jesus' name, I cast you out, and I declare and decree the holy fire of God around about every single listener. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask for your protection, your supernatural peace to fall over, all over me, that I will sleep very well tonight. Father God, and I also ask, Father, in Jesus' name, for every single person that listens to this program, to please, please remember me in prayer. Thank you, Father. Father, I also lift up every single person that does remember me, just even the utterance of a prayer, just even making mention of me in prayer, to we should all be asking you, Father God, to forgive us all of our sins, our shortcomings, our trespasses. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Father God, and to also understand that everyone's understanding of forgiveness, everyone's understanding of things that are associated with our walk and on that narrow path, people don't all completely understand your scripture the same exact way. I just know what I see when I read it. And Father, I praise you. I praise you for putting the fear of you and the fear of hell fire back into me. And I pray in the name of Jesus that the people that listen to this program pray for me. And I pray for a tenfold blessing, Father God. I ask you for an anointing of the presence of the Holy Spirit, the peace that passes all understanding. I pray, Father God, for just your graciousness and your grace and your mercy and your anointing to fall upon anyone who mentions me in prayer, Father God, and does it fervently. I pray for that anointing to fall upon them, for blessings and grace to fall upon them like never before, that strength and self-control will fall upon them, that we can, so many of us are so good, Father, at walking in the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, self, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, goodness, and then we stumble with the self-control because the difficulties of today, and I'm trying to pick my words properly, Lord, it is so hard. The difficulties of today and the things that we're subject to, the things that are thrown into our face, that just even the reading of the article, staying aware of the things that are happening across the world, even to be able to use them as a witnessing tool, is enough to make us, many of us, get quite upset and indeed frustrated. Father, sometimes the walk is so utterly difficult that it is beyond words. And I know that there are other people that are feeling this way as well. I pray, Father, that anybody that is feeling this way, that is struggling, that is frustrated, that is vacillating back and forth between anxiety, depression, frustration associated with the things that have been said that didn't come true, the things that we believe should have come true but did not. Father God, I believe with all of my heart, and I pray that the people that are part of this prayer also recognize that evidently, the hordes of hell have been released on the earth, and that the attacks of the demonic are stronger than probably they have ever been since before the foundations of the world. Father God, I'm beside myself with the amount of attacks that have been hitting me lately and the power of the attacks, the magnitude and the impact of the attacks. And I need your grace. I need grace from you like I have never, ever experienced in my entire life. Lord Jesus, I pray and I ask you. We've had people on this program that said that they have even been, when they were in heaven, they have even seen you pray as our advocate on our behalf. And we pray, Lord Jesus, please remember each of us in our prayers. And we ask you, please, Lord Jesus, please, in your holy name, because you said in John 14:13-14, in those scriptures, you said that whatever we ask in your name will be given us, providing that, that it glorifies our Father. And Father, it certainly cannot glorify you if we are being beaten down by the forces of darkness, if we're being attacked by witch covens, if we're being attacked by people around us, sometimes members of our family, sometimes so many folks that we wouldn't even have imagined would attack us, and that they come at us with such unbelievable strength and determination. It is almost impossible to fight it off. And Father God, we just pray in the name of Jesus that you will give us a sense of stability, a sense of supernatural peace, Father. Lord Jesus, we're asking you to request the cloud of witnesses to pray for all of us, for those of us who have been exposed to the understandings that we are exposed to, because we are in extreme danger to the plan of the devil, to the plan of Satan, and there is no question that we are under attack in a level that most Christians, most people that believe they're Christians or trying to be, are unfamiliar with, and many don't even believe in. And Father, we know it because it is a part of our life. It is a part of our walk. Father, we rebuke all demons of darkness. We pray in Jesus' name if there is any entity that is listening to this program and that is trying to send curses against any of us, Father God, we rebuke it. We rebuke them in the name of Jesus, and we ask you to send down warrior angels, Father God, to strike them deaf, blind, and dumb, place them under arrest, cast them into the pit. We declare the fire of God to weld the pit shut, and we plead in Jesus' name for your blood, Lord Jesus, to seal that pit, for only you, Lord, the Lamb of God, can break that seal. We pray for your divine protection and a thorny hedge of protection indeed around about us, and a whirlwind of the Holy Spirit to blow that fire white hot. We pray, Father God, in Jesus' name, for an outpouring upon us that gives us that final ingredient of self-control. We cannot vacillate. We cannot move to the left. We cannot move to the right. We need to stay steady on the narrow path. We may not completely understand what we think that we do understand. The timeline that I shared on the last radio show could be in error. I do not know these things, Father God. I only know the things that I know, that I know what you have shown me. I know what I have learned through other teachers. I try my best to put it all together, but at the same time, Father God, it could maybe there may be parts of it that are not exactly right. And I pray that through humility, Father God, through a touch of the presence of the Holy Spirit, you will witness to people through this program, this evening in particular, and all the shows in the future, that this program will have an effect on people, that it will, and that effect will be to get them ready for the unexpected. Because what we expect, Father God, can sometimes be the very nail that Hasatan uses to take us out, to put us in a position that allows him to attack us. And we pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, he is a roaring lion. We hate his guts. And in the name of Jesus, Father God, we need to understand that we someday will be judging the angels, and we must walk in holiness and righteousness at all times. And we cannot be vacillating back and forth. We cannot be allowing depression. We cannot be allowing anxiety. We cannot be allowing anything to stand in our way. That now is the time. Now is the time for purification. These are the final hours. We do not know when those hours will end. We do not know how much ugly we are going to have to go through, but we need to have that holiness and righteousness as a part of our life, as a part of our lifestyle, as a part of how we think. We need to have a renewing of our mind. We cannot stand upon the scriptures that promise our forgiveness and expect you to not place us in that, to allow you to us to stand before you and not be one of those who say, Lord, Lord, but have we not done this or that in your name? Lord Jesus, help us. We pray for your prayers, and we pray for the cloud of witnesses to pray for us, Lord God, because we are at a disadvantage. We know too much, and the devil can use it against us. He can come against our minds. When we know too much and we become the arch enemy enemy of Hasatan. He's going to find a way to pierce through our armor. We're going to, things that we consider to be benign in our walk can be used against us as portals to break in and to cause horrible things to happen in our lives. Father, I praise you for when that tree fell in front of my house, it didn't hit my house again. I praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for your protection. I pray for supernatural protection and holy fire around every single person's dwelling place, every single person's car, every single person's loved ones. Father God, I lift up every listener of this program, and I pray in the mighty name of Jesus for your forgiveness, Father God, to fall upon us. Forgive us all, Lord God, for we know not what we do. We do not know what we do. We do not know how strong the adversary can be against us at some time. We do not know when we are allowing our armor to fail. We do not know these things, Father God. All we can do is stand upon the word, and we have to know that word really well. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that we don't just say these words, but we mean these words, that we will write your word on our hearts, Father God, that we may not sin against thee. We love you, Father God, and we don't want to sin against you. And we make mistakes. And Father, we just pray for your forgiveness, to your mercy and your grace to continue to fall upon each and every one of us as we strive to walk even more tightly on that narrow path as the day grows even shorter. Oh, Lord, my God, my precious Father, please have mercy upon each of us. Bless us, Father God. Bless us. Lift your countenance upon us. Father God, we pray that you will just fill us with your presence. Lord Jesus, pray for us as our advocate, and ask the cloud of witnesses to pray for us as well. We are in a difficult time, Lord God, and the challenges that have been placed before so many of us, particularly those of us in the workplace, are beyond words. The stress, the situations that are happening around about us are exceedingly difficult to deal with. And we ask you, Father, for that grace. We ask you for a double, triple, a quadruple portion of that grace to be poured out upon us. And we ask you, Lord God, for strength, strength to overcome, strength to persevere, strength to walk on that narrow path and to restore. If we have lost at any point in our walk through our growing closer to you in love and somehow a portal got opened in our life, or somehow an attack got through, Father God, because of a weakness in ourselves that we were unaware of. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will restore fear into our hearts to understand that this is it. This is it. We rebuke anything that would attempt to come against us, and we declare your fire and a whirlwind of the Holy Spirit in the mighty name of Jesus to steady our path and to place that fear of God back into our hearts, that we will walk on that narrow path and that we will seek and become part of that which you have promised, Father God. We do not let us fall asleep. Do not let us take anything for granted. And do not let us fall prey to those who believe that your scripture doesn't mean what it says. We praise you, Father God. And Paul, we thank you. Paul, if you are hearing these prayers from heaven, we thank you, Paul, for your admonishment to the church of Corinth in the second letter where you said, "Now knowing these things, brethren, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." In the name of Jesus, I pray that this falls upon the hearts of every listener, because we could be coming upon a very, very short journey and be completely unaware of it because of a belief system or an understanding that we embraced at some point, that perhaps, maybe, Father, it could be in error. Let us all be ready, Father God, every moment of the day, every moment that we walk. If we are vacillating back and forth, if we are having hard times, if we are slipping and falling or letting depression get the best of us or feeling sorry for ourselves like I do sometimes, Father God, Lord, Father, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and we ask you for extra power, extra grace. Lord Jesus, extra prayer. Let us become so close to you that we cannot even imagine sinning against thee. We praise you, Lord God, and we pray for extra faith and extra strength. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Father.
To sing, watch and pray, for I would come for you one day. I gave you my word so you would know I might come and take you home. It's time for you to look around. The signs I gave for coming down. Don't be caught asleep and blind. You don't want to be left behind. Come and be home. 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 Come and be holy.
Praise God. I have to move fast tonight, and I apologize for that because there's so much to get out, and I'm looking at the clock, and I cannot believe it. The prayer even went on longer than I thought, but I praise you, Father, and I pray that it touches people and it inspires them. We need to be inspired, folks. All right, now, I did that program, that last program, to the best of my understanding of things. I believe that I have a pretty good understanding of things, but I cannot guarantee that it is 100% correct. And I beseech you all, brothers and sisters, please, okay, understand that I am flawed, okay? I am imperfect. We are all in a state of continuous sin, whether we realize it or not, which is captured very much so in 1 John. We all have to be in a continuous state of self-examination. We have to make sure by our own self-examination and our own judging of ourselves that we are walking in holiness and righteousness. We cannot be vacillating. I know it is very hard. I know it requires a lot of tears. I know that a lot of us are we have fear. We have sleeplessness. I know these things. The Lord is even showing me lately scriptures. I've been spending a lot of more time in the Word lately, a lot more time than I, and I'm going to be spending a lot more time as well in the Word to reevaluate a lot of things. Now, that being said, we have Sister Charlo joining us tonight, who is given a powerful dream/vision. We're going to introduce some of this information from believers. Now, again, you know, we all see through the mirror dimly, you know, and so I think it's very important we're aware that any of us could be wrong. You know, I like I said, I studied under Chuck. I love Chuck Misler. I adore him. I adore him, and I pray that he is so happy in heaven. And I, you know, but the thing is, I also come from studies. You know, I studied under a lot of really good end times teachers, and the Lord did show me things and help me to understand stuff, but I could still have things wrong. You know what I mean? So, you know, cause I ask myself questions like, you know, I don't know. Like, I struggle with some things sometimes, and I'm never absolutely 100% sure that I got everything right. I would have to be a fool, really foolish, to think that I got everything right, especially in light of 1 Corinthians 8:2. Also, please hear me when I say this. I beseech you to, if you would please, to pray for me a little bit more. My sister Marilyn, out of the clear blue sky, the Lord uses her sometimes to talk to me. The Lord will like speak through her, but she doesn't realize that it's happening at the time she's saying it. And out of the clear blue sky, for some crazy reason, I don't know why, but now I do, she said, you have to ask the listeners of the show all the time to pray for you, 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 pray. Because I, how do I put this? When I come on the program, I have an anointing that comes over me, and I can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit on me. When I did the prayer vigil, I was led once again to just share, testimony with people, and then I got all these people writing me and thanking me for sharing that testimony because it helped them. So this last prayer vigil, I was once again led to go into a testimony to help people. I can't explain it. It just overwhelms me, and then I just go off, and I deviate from the normal routine of the prayer vigil, which I think is good. Well, I know it is because people write me and they thank me, and praise God for all of them. But I've been under some extremely heavy attack, and I think I know one of the reasons why. I have been letting my guard down, and, you know, the roaring lion, as it were, you know, the devil's a roaring lion to seek who is attempting to seek whom he may devour. Well, and I know that you've probably heard me say many times that if we're fighting direct, well, especially those who listen to the prayer vigil have heard me say many times, if we let our guard down, or, you know, when we're rushing across the field into the enemy's encampment and we are coming against them in spiritual warfare prayers, that makes us, puts a big target on our back. Well, the target, I guess, on my back has been a lot bigger than I realized. And oh boy. So anyway, I want to share some things with you, and this is going to be a little bit different because I'm having – things are happening. And, again, this is why we're bringing on Sister Charlo. We're going to also start looking for some more other people that have had similar visions and stuff so that we can get some alternative ideas in there that we can pray about, because we need to be praying about all this stuff. I want to be very careful to say, you know, what if I'm wrong? Okay, what if I'm wrong? So certainly, please, in the name of Jesus, we all need to be at the ready. Also, I am getting this strong, strong feeling that we have got to hit it hard right now. Okay? Okay, so I'm gonna take this time to move very rapidly. It may intersect or mess up the time for the news. Please forgive me for that, but I have to share this to you. I'm seeing a connection of things happening here. So I asked the sister to pray for me because, you know, she's a prayer warrior, a really good one. And the Lord gave her Daniel 11:35 for me. Now, keep in mind that Daniel 11:35 is coming really close, in the march through the end times as it, you know, goes through the end times. It's coming really close to Daniel 12, where you see the word, my people will be delivered. And then, you know, if you look at the Hebrew, it actually says a slippery escape. And kids, you don't mind if I skip the jokes today, do you? I mean, oh, now, you guys are Jesus kids. You're cool with this, right? Okay. I knew it. All right. So I'm going to go into this and share this with you because I'm starting to get chills with some of the stuff that I'm seeing. Now, this could be a good sign. It could also be an 11th hour warning for all of us, okay, particularly me, because I'm probably the least. Anyway, let me just share this. All right, so I'm not going to go into a testimony of the stuff that I'm going through right now. I'm just going to simply say, please pray for me. Now, that being said, and I am praying for you too. We are also going to have Brother Kirk Martin join us in a few weeks. I wish it was sooner, but we have, you know, regularly scheduled programs and stuff with certain really good guests. But let me share this with you. So I still, like I said, I still monitor. You know, I don't spend large portions of the show doing prophecy stuff because a lot of it is faltered. However, I still have a tremendous love and deep respect for God's Healer 7. I always will. I will never not. Also, same thing with Julie Wedby in Behold I Come. I treasure her work. Many confirmations through her work. Praise God. Similarly, I still monitor Wings of Prophecy as well. Okay, and there appears to be, in some cases, a little bit of a disconnect between, but see, the callings and stuff and the things that the Lord asks his prophets to say will vary depending on who those prophets are ministering to. Now, all that being said, I'm starting to see a little bit of a shift, and I'm beginning to see a synchronicity. Okay. And so I'm going to share this with you. This is from March 27th. Now listen to this. Now, first off, so I asked this sister to pray for me because I was going through some really hard stuff and I'm still going through it. And, It's attacks, and they're orchestrated, and they're very powerful, and I'm not doing as well as I ought to be with them, and it surprises me. It catches me off guard. Now, that's why I really, really need your prayer. But anyway, so thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, and I'm just going to praise my way through it, and it's going to be fine. I'm going to get through it, but with your prayer, I really have a better shot of getting through a lot of it. Do not think for any second. I've had people write me and say, oh, Johnny, you're going to be so blessed in heaven, and you've helped me so much, and God's just going to – no, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. It doesn't work like that. Like I mentioned on one program, I think we're going to be surprised at how many humble little old ladies who spend a lot of time in prayer are like, you know, hierarchically above us and you know, in the ruling and reigning structure that Jesus is going to put together. You know, it's the last will be first, the first will be last, the foot washers. That's who we are. We're foot washers. And we need to have humility. Now, that being said, I wanted to share this with you. March 27th, God's Healer 7, she says, this is the prophetic word. I formed you in place. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. My bad. I got to reverse these back around. So I asked this sister, a good prayer warrior, to pray for me. And she was given two things. One of them made me burst into tears and cry. I cried so hard, I heaved. The other, because it was like almost like me, some of my vacillating and the problems that I'm having because of the beatings that I'm taking at work and all the stress and everything else, and I'm not handling it well. And that's why I ask you, please, to ask the Lord to give me self-control, because I make Peter's impetuousness look like it was trivial. Okay. Now, that being said, I need that self-control. I need to have steady as she goes, Nepho. And I need your prayers to help stabilize me, because when I'm under the influence of the presence of the Holy Spirit on these programs, when I get off the programs, I'm pretty sure what's happening is that I'm being placed under heavy attack. I've even been shown places in the scripture just recently when I was reading, you know, where Paul was saying how they suffered sleeplessness. You know, they couldn't sleep. They were under so much stress. But anyway, so let me share this with you. So then she comes back, this prayer warrior comes back, and she shares with me the most amazing. She said she prayed for me, and she said the Lord gave her this verse. Now, remember that this is not just for me. This is for all of us. But the timing is absolutely horrifying, because if this had not happened to me, oh, my goodness. I just can't even imagine. I don't want to be one of those. And I know you don't want to be one of those that stands before the Lord and he says, I don't know you. All right. So I'm sharing. Daniel 11:35 is what the Lord gave this lady. Listen to this. And by the way, it's approaching Daniel 12. It says, and some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, to purify them and make them white until the time of the end, because it is still for the appointed time. I just about lost it. The Lord gave that verse to her for me because of some of the struggles that I was going through, because of the beatings that I was taking, and I wasn't handling it well. With grace. Keep in mind the words that you just heard me, and some of those with understanding shall fall to refine them, to purify them, and to make them white, okay, until the time of the end. How long is the time of the end? I don't know. But then, God's Healer 7, I took a look at this. This was sent in by Sister Carol. I pray for her constantly. God bless her. And this is what it said. I formed you and placed you in your mother's womb. I know you from the foundation. Put your trust and faith in me, I am. Not man or man's technology. I see tears of sadness. Soon they will become tears of joy. The purification is almost complete. The purification is almost complete. Now, I'm going to stop. I'm going back to Daniel 11:25. And some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purify them, and make them white until the time of the end. My struggles have been severe, very severe. And I'm not going to get into all the reasons, but I made mistakes. They were had to do with the renewing of my mind, the way I was thinking about things, stuff that I like get into my head. So here's the thing. I talked an awful lot about this on the prayer vigil. So if you go back to the last prayer vigil, I gave a big, long testimony of measures that I'm taking to make corrections and also beseeching you for your prayers if I need them. All right. Now, that being said, the prophecy, the God's Healer 7 prophecy goes on. Purification is almost complete. Okay. All right. Now you're seeing the synergy there between that and the Daniel 11:35, right? Amen. Wow. I just realized that if I play this audio, we are not going to be able to do the news. I don't like that. Or we can just run until but Sister Shiloh, I don't know that she understands. She will have more than just between 9 and 10. I got to play this for you. I have to play this for you. We are trying to get this man to come on the radio. We are trying. So please pray that he will come on, because I think there's more than we realize that he has to say. But I'm going to play this for you. Hopefully it'll come over. Sounds like it is.
Before I share this testimony, I want to preface it by saying that God is so patient and so merciful, and he's so long-suffering. Isaiah talks about the nature of God and the nature of the Messiah that was prophesied. And he says, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out until justice goes forth in fullness. Anyone who knows my testimony knows that I've experienced firsthand how gracious and patient God can be and is with our process and with our being human. When God comes to anybody in judgment, it's only after he's already come to them with patience and grace and mercy about a thing multiple times. It's only after he's extended the invitation to repent. He even says in the Bible, today I place before you life and death, choose life. So it's so important to understand, anytime a message is coming from God about judgment, or that some kind of verdict has been made, the only way to contextualize that rightly is to understand that by the time we've gotten there, God has already offered mercy time and time again. So when I had this terrifying vision of Jesus, it's literally one of two times that I've ever experienced God in a way that's utterly terrifying, and rightfully so, because it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. People try to make God out to be human, and although he became human in the person of Jesus Christ, to try to fully understand him in our limited human perspective is foolishness. We give authority to a natural judge in the earth, and that judge has the authority to end a person's life. How much more does God reserve the right to execute judgment with his absolutely perfect perspective, with an absolutely perfect nature? There's literally no shadow of turning in God. He is light. And the Bible says that he is love. So when God goes to judge, there's no room for fault in God in his judgment. And the Bible makes it clear time and time again that he delights in showing mercy. It says he's slow to wrath. So when I had this visitation from God and I saw just a hair of what it is like to test God's patience, it was one of the most, if not the absolute most terrifying experience I have ever had. And if as an individual or as a society, as the Bible has already made it plain at the end of the age, when God says he's done, that he's tried, and now there's nothing left to do but execute judgment, not only is he perfect and right to do so, but it is the most horrible thing that could ever possibly happen. And I would say mostly because it shouldn't have happened. because I guarantee there were lots of opportunities for people to make the right choice. So this is what I experienced. Years and years back, I had begun my walk with God. I had already learned how real he was. I'd learned to go through the Bible, to feed on the Word of God, and I learned to connect with God through the Holy Spirit. He had given me a new identity. I was already born again. I was already walking as a son of God. But I spent a lot of time vacillating in my lifestyle because of deep-rooted issues like insecurity and this tenacious hunger for affirmation, mostly desiring that from a romantic relationship, but really any way that I could get affirmation. And there were just areas of my mind that still needed to be renewed, that even though God had had his hand on it, I really fought with God about letting him be the all-in-all for that need. So the sense of rejection that I would inevitably experience when I would break up with a girlfriend or in other situations would drive me towards addictions. And I would just be stuck in this cycle of depression and addiction. Then God would meet me and I would come back to him and I'd begin again. He would wash me. And this happened so many times, I can't even count. He was so patient with me. Lots of people tried to help me and I received a lot of help. And I'd go a few steps forward and go lots of steps back. This kind of thing went on for probably 10 years or more. So by this point, when this encounter happened, I'd been around that merry-go-round so many times, and God had restored me. Even when I really lost confidence, even in him, there would be another way that he would show up and have mercy on me. I was so much like Hosea's wife. I would just sell myself back into bondage. And he would redeem me again, and I would sell myself back into bondage. And I had a really hard time holding on to the value that he was affirming to me, that he'd given me. And it was just straight unbelief at times. By this point, I should have well been done with certain lifestyle choices. The Bible literally tells us not to make provision for the flesh. And yet, that's exactly what I did. Got together with some buddies that were still into the party scene, and I made space for my flesh to do what it wanted to do. So I violated my conscience. I did what I shouldn't have done. And that evening when I tried to go to sleep, I had a visitation from the Lord. Honestly, when he first showed up, I didn't even know who it was. What happened was my conscience was burning. I was in torment. In the darkness, I saw a man step out of the shadows and stand right in front of me, looking me dead in the eyes. His hairline was deep and his features were very pronounced. And as I looked at him, I knew that he was the smartest, most intelligent, and wise person that ever existed. I knew that he had authority like no one had ever had authority before. As I looked at him, I knew that I was looking at the most powerful man that had ever existed. And yet he was so gentle, and he wasn't assuming. It was almost like you had just entered into a courtroom, and the judge just looked like anybody else that you might have seen on the street. But you knew what his position and his role was. You knew that he couldn't be fooled. This guy doesn't seem proud or arrogant or anything like that. In fact, he seems very humble. And yet, you know that he has complete control over your life. It was only after I started to gather all of these attributes of the person that I was looking at that I made the connection and realized who he was. And I realized I was looking at Jesus. And I realized that Jesus was looking at me. And there was disappointment in his eyes. There was sadness in his eyes. He just sat there looking at me and he lifted up his hand, and above his hand, I saw the world. And it wasn't a model of the world. I knew as I saw it that it was the actual world. It was so three-dimensional and it was spinning slowly over his hand. But he never looked at it. He kept looking at me. And without saying any words with his mouth, I could hear what he was thinking. As the world turned to dust and it blew away before a speck of the dust could hit his hand. And I saw these tiny little souls, tiny, tiny little souls, just a few fall into his hand. And he started to close his hand around them and he said, I'm taking what's mine and this will all be over. I was so terrified in that moment, because I knew that he was saying, I'm not playing any more games with you. You know better by now. You know that this world is dust and that the only reason it exists is for the harvest of souls that I'm going to take out of it. Do you know it was love for God to say those things to me? It was love for him to show me that. It was love for him to make me feel grieved for a moment so that I could snap out of it and realize that I could not play with that fire anymore. You see, there's grace for us when we're authentically struggling with something. There's grace and patience when we stumble because of ignorance, but there comes a time when we do know better. There comes a time when we've seen too much. And when we've crossed a certain threshold of maturity or healing or revelation, because revelation in God is healing, there's certain things that we can't afford to entertain any longer. God is going to judge the world. He has extended himself to you through the person of Jesus Christ. Today, if you still have breath to breathe, then you are still walking in the grace and mercy of God. There will come a time when either you go to him or he's coming to us, and the corruptible will put on incorruptible. Mortality will be swallowed up by immortality, and all of us will go from having these seed form bodies to having the glorious bodies or immortal bodies, just like Jesus has right now already. Jesus is the express image of the invisible God. He's lowly in spirit. He's humble, but he is the judge of all the living and the dead, and rightfully so. There's no one more full of humility and justice and rightness than Jesus, who literally came and laid down all of his glory so that he could save and serve the lost. And the very people who said the most ignorant things about him, and the very people who tortured and killed him. Jesus is worthy to be crowned the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's worthy to be placed in the position of authority to judge all the living and the dead. You're never going to look at Jesus at the end of your life and say you weren't being fair. You aren't being fair. When you look at Jesus, you know that any good thing that you get from God is only because he had mercy, not because he owed anything to you. The whole human race, we call ourselves good people, but we're not good people. We hate each other. We backbite. We take things personally, and then we seek revenge. We use each other to get ahead in life. We devalue each other. We exploit each other. Not to mention the actual atrocities, the actual raping, murdering, killing, destroying that we do to each other. But none of us aren't part of that in some way. No one is going to stand before Jesus and be able to say that they were innocent. We all need the perfect, spotless Son of God and his taking our place and suffering the judgment that we should have experienced so that we can be washed in his forgiveness and we can stand justified before God. And then we live a life of humility and worship of the one true King, and we do good because we love him, not because we're trying to get into heaven, because there is no such thing as a good person in this world. And I know a lot of people might have struggled like I did, like, God, what about the children? What about the mentally crippled? What about the physically crippled? What about the aborted? What about the miscarried? The Bible illustrates so clearly, and Jesus articulates so clearly, the truly disadvantaged will be in the kingdom of heaven with him. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But you have to understand, God is not going to judge someone without having offered them time and time again the opportunity to make a better choice. Today I place before you life and death. Choose life. You can try to make an excuse and say that if God was real, if God was good, these things wouldn't have happened to those people. But God says, I've got those people who have been overlooked and oppressed and have had no justice in this life, or had their life completely robbed from them before they could even live it. He said, theirs is the kingdom of God. It's the rest of us who have been given so much. We're the ones who are in danger. The proud, the arrogant, the lofty, the selfishly ambitious, those of us who justify ourselves by our own wicked and perverted standards, we're the ones that are in danger. God doesn't want to judge anybody. It says he desires that all would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But he will have to at some point. So today, choose life. Choose Jesus. Put your trust in Jesus and receive the Holy Spirit, and he will lead you for the rest of your life until you see him face to face.
Boy, Now that's convicting. Oh man. Oh, that is convicting. Is there anybody out there that's been struggling? And I think maybe even the most important words he said were, if you are alive now, you are still walking in God's grace. If you are alive now, you are still walking in God's grace. In the book of James, it says, I would want not for many of you to become teachers, because don't you know that you receive a stricter judgment? I don't even want to be considered a teacher. I know some people think that I am, but I don't really consider myself that. I just share, I am imperfect, and I share my imperfectness. I wear my heart on my sleeve. I admit my imperfection, because I think it is a key absentee characteristic of churchianity. But at the same time, as you grow up in Christ through your sanctification, when you take the advice of this guy, which we're trying to get it to come on the program, the key there is growing up in Christ. And that is where I struggle, because I'm still very much a little kid in the way I think of things. When I'm, like I said, when I'm on the program, the Holy Spirit comes over me and I start talking about things and the Lord shows me things and it's just amazing. And but I'm telling you folks, the devil uses every opportunity he can. We know this, to come against us, and we'll use every, and I do believe now beyond any shadow of a doubt that the hordes of hell have been released upon this earth. And I believe that testimonies like this person, who has over 1 million watches, you know, on this particular video. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Jesus. These are warnings. So again, I say to you, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm wrong? I don't know, you know, for sure that I have everything right. I just know what I think. Okay, so again, I think it's very important to hear the message from Sister Charlo, remain very humble, continue to search the word, you know, like a good Berean, search the word daily to see if it is so. And, you know, Acts 17:11, don't take, you know, like I said, I will share what I think the Lord has shown me, and I will share the best that I can possibly think of to you, the stuff that I believe is probably correct, as best as I can do so. All right. And I do always have people write me in there, oh, I just love it when you do these shows, and it just helps me so much and all that kind of stuff. But I think it's very, very important to also share that this is not, even the teachers that do Bible teaching, which is not really what I do. I share what I think, you know, to try to help people as much as I can. Because I notice that folks are perceiving, I feel in my heart that I'm hearing people perceive timeline differences and deltas that don't seem to line up with what I'm seeing in the Bible. But what if my understanding is wrong? Which is why we're having Sister Charlo join us tonight. Praise God. Now, she's probably holding. Please hang in there for me, Sister Charlo. If you are holding on the line, I will be to you very, very quickly. We can go to 10:30 Eastern time. So we have an extra half an hour to give you if you want that much. And if you don't need that much, or you need a shorter period of time, no problem, as the Lord leads. But I do want to take a real quick moment to move over at least some of these headlines real fast. So please hang in there for me, sister. God bless you. Thank you so much. I needed to play that for you. Folks, please just be advised that the margin for error associated with any of our understandings, particularly in light of the seducing spirits that have been released upon the world, and particularly in light of, you know, the challenge associated with so many prophets and prophecies in the last several years that have not come true. And I don't want to get into the hows and the whys, but we know we really got to humble up now. We've really got to get it together. We might be very, very, very close to being out of time. There's just no more time to fumble the ball. And we need to be praying. We're going to be bringing on Brother Kirk Martin again. He has been through so much attack of the devil. He's uniquely qualified to speak to this particular issue, and he's going to be sharing with us the importance of prayer for the saints praying for one another. Not that we don't pray for the lost. We absolutely do. Absolutely we do. Not that we don't use spiritual warfare tactics, because we absolutely do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, but just remember, folks, see, you let your guard down, you're going to get punched out, and it ain't going to be pretty. All right, so you really got to watch that too. So just, folks, if we're that close, we don't know. That's the thing. The understanding that the vast majority of those who have sold DVDs and do professional Bible teachings and things, we know that a lot of those are wrong. They have, many of them have been proven wrong. But again, just please, let us all really dig in now. I mean, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name, I beseech you. If our understandings are not correct and something breaks big and we didn't see it coming, you don't want to be caught in that place. We have got to get steady on that narrow path. Now, knowing these things, this might maybe one of the most, two of the most powerful scriptures in the New Testament. 1 Peter 4:7-8. If a righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly be? And the other one is, I love this one, and I thank you, Apostle Paul. Because after he admonished the dickens out of the Corinthian church, Church of Corinth, he said in his second letter, now knowing these things, brethren, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. How? In the fear of God. It is so easy to fall in love with God so much, and then when you get depressed, you can think of reasons why that you do this or that. There's no more time. You heard the prophecy from Godzilla 7. You saw the connection to the statement in Daniel 11:35. The time for purification is now. We got to seek it with all of our hearts. If you're vacillating, if you're like me and you're impetuous, you get super depressed. Whatever the case is, feeling sorry for yourself. That is the number one way. When you feel sorry for yourself, for whatever reason, that is a portal that the devil will leverage. And he will come at you with hatred that is beyond words, speaking from experience. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And from now on, in my life, things are going to be very different because I have been examining myself very carefully. Some of my behaviors that I've been taking for granted were okay. I don't like them. Thinking about it again, taking a second look. We all need to straighten out that walk on that narrow path. Because if our understanding of things that we're trying to do as we piece together the scriptures is wrong, and for whatever reason, the order of events is in error. For whatever reason, we cannot take the risk. We cannot willfully sin thinking, well, God will forgive me. Because you don't know if you're going to have a car crash on your way home that night. So again, we've really got to get it together. I have a feeling that we might be closer to the 11th hour than we think. Now, that being said, if this puts a little bit of the fear of God in you, I hope so, because I certainly have it. I needed it to be restored. It is a highly motivational thing. It is a very important part of our walk. All right, on that note, let's just go ahead and go right into the news. All right, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And here we go. Trump's social media platform is about to launch in 3 to 4 months, according to a former advisor. So now that Donald Trump is setting up another. Now, listen, do you get depressed when you think about Donald Trump running in 2024 again? I'm not saying he's good, bad, or ugly, indifferent. It is irrelevant to me. We are citizens of heaven. All that being said, okay, and we need to be sanctified, fully sanctified, to be able to take on, to be able to pray before the courts of heaven. Otherwise, you're disqualified. And you're just going to get attacked. Okay, so really just get that narrow path down hard. Get the fear of God back in your heart, and you'll fall back in love with the Father. It's part of the progression, but the devil will try to knock you down hard, because then you become dangerous to him. All right, and believe me, he is a very formidable adversary. All right, but again, Trump is going to be setting up his own social media platform, for whatever that's worth. I just thought I would share that. All right, also Breitbart News. I'm repeating this from the last show, but I do want to reconfirm this to people. This is the White House speaking. It says the White House confirms that Joe Biden and Barack Obama regularly talk and consult on a range of issues. Now, what does that mean, regularly? Is Biden even functional? Are they injecting him with adrenaline so he can speak? Is he geriatric, completely lost? I mean, how bad is this? The situation appears to be exceedingly bad. And if you're aware of the things that are happening in the news right now, they're accelerating. Now, think about it. We just had not one, but two major shootings. We had storms down south just, I think, yesterday or whatnot, that several people were killed in just from the rain, record-setting storms. We had the tornadoes that just ripped through, and the damage that was done there. I was unable to catch up with that. Also, listen to this. WorldNet Daily reports that McConnell is claiming that there will be legislation passed that will allow the Democrats to win essentially every election from this day forward. Okay, so basically they're preparing to, and successfully thus far, preparing to place into law all the things that allowed them to commit the fraud that they committed in the first place, which, by the way, will set up, if this country is not as seething and dark and evil as, it's just mind-numbing to me to imagine that people are unable to see it. When that man in that audio I played for you, his name is Jonathan, I think, when he said that the ones that are in danger are us, that was an understatement. That was a wake-up call. The whole time I listened to that, I bawled. I wear my heart out on my sleeve. The reason why I prayed the way that I prayed this at the beginning of this show is because I know what's going on. I know that the devil is doing everything he can to take me out, and I have got to get my game down pat. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so do we all. All right. I know there's other people out there with similar problems. I've gotten emails. All right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. More weirdness. Female military member dies after the COVID-19 vaccine showed no side effects at all, according to officials. That's from the Epic Times. By the way, you got to pay them like seven, you know, if you want to keep on getting Epic Times stuff. So they're reporting stuff that hardly anybody else is reporting. All right. Praise God. Next one up. Thank you, Jesus. Here we go. Double mutant COVID-19 virus found in India. Health officials say as the country battles a big increase in daily cases. Praise God. Next one up. Dumping the dollar. Here we go. Heading toward the third seal. Will China, Russia, Turkey, and Iran create a new international currency? Again, if the petrodollar goes down, the world's global intertwined economy is going to do what? Collapse. Don't even get me going on the ship in the Suez Canal. Suez Canal. Oh, my gosh. Next. All right. Hallelujah. Listen to this. Record rain kills four people, forces 130 swift water rescues in Nashville as a storm battles the South. Next one. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Biden representative allegedly asked the GOP, this is, I don't even like the term GOP, the Republican senators to scrub photos taken at the Texas Migrant Center. As a matter of fact, there were, I believe, 14 of them down there, and they were even filming some of the stuff, and supposedly that stuff was confiscated, and they were, I mean, Ted Cruz is flipping out. But again, how far are we? How deep are we? How close are we to this all blowing up? And the things that Jesus told us, you know, in the Olivet Discourse becoming our reality, does it not appear that it's happening faster and faster? It sure does to me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your purification. Let us, whatever it takes, whatever chastening we must suffer, Father, let it happen now. Let us not miss, Lord Jesus. Let us become your closest friend and absolutely fall totally in love with you and be brokenhearted when we slip. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Jesus. Next up, Trump says he will go to the border, hammers the Biden administration for the migrant crisis. And by the way, the situation down there is absolutely horrible. But I'm not going to, you could go on and on and on about it. Look, I feel my heart breaks for the people that want to come here. I know I've been down in Central America. I know what it's like and what they're going through. And it's horrible, folks. It is just horrible. Please pray for them. Next up, Danish Health Authority extends suspension of the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine for 3 weeks because people are dropping dead. As a matter of fact, here's some of the statistics or some of the numbers. And by the way, these are only the numbers from the European Database of Adverse Drug Reactions. Okay, so this only includes the stuff that they voluntarily submit. It doesn't include all the things that are actually happening. At this time, 3,964 people are dead from the vaccines. 162,610 are suffering from severe injuries. Many of them are chronic and will last them the rest of what's left of their lives. Next up. And by the way, please, those of you who are not working in the workforce, please pray for those of us who are. This situation is not good. Thank you. Praise God. Next up, Philippines Duterte raises concerns with Beijing as 220 Chinese vessels moor at a reef in Manila's territorial waters. Look at that. Folks, are we getting close or what? Listen to this, another headline. Taiwan says it's now making long-range missiles capable of striking China. Oh, boy, folks. Oh, my gosh. Next one up. No good news. The southern part of the San Andreas Fault is moving a lot faster than previously thought. Remember the prophet Dr. David Aurora based out of Kenya. All right. I remember his warnings about, you know, seeing the land turn, as he put it, anti-clockwise and it appears there's a possibility that there's not just one, but two major, major earthquakes that occur in California. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And next one up. Widespread cold brings spring snow around the world, even baffling the weather specialists. Yeah. From the United States to India to China to Algeria to even Majorca. I know somebody there. Very cool stuff. Praise God, but very end times. Another headline. Israeli army accidentally reveals its secret bases online. Oopsie daisy. Look out. That's going to cause a problem. Next one up. Senator Marco Rubio, there's stuff flying over military installations and nobody knows what they are. So, I mean, to talk about the UFO problem, the fallen angels, all this other stuff is just out. It is through the roof, folks, please. Narrow path. Fear God. Narrow path. Fear God. If a righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the sinner and the ungodly be? We have got to get it together. We got to hold it together. We got to pray for yourself. Pray for loving Jesus and just be brokenhearted when you make a mistake and just repent immediately. Turn away from it in Jesus' name. Do not let yourself fall back into it. Don't get into that cycle that man was talking about, because that is an easy cycle to fall into, particularly when you are suffering from the Ecclesiastes 1:18 problem. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Be strong. Pray for self-control. Hallelujah. Next one up. Iran missiles hit Israel-owned ship in the Arabian Sea, according to television, or TV says. Okay. Do you hear that? Iranian missiles hits an Israel-owned ship. You're starting to see where this is heading? Next one up. New York Times reports Pfizer begins testing its vaccine on young children. Oh, boy. Oh, and by the way, they're turning their guns toward us, folks. They're turning their guns towards us. They are. It's really bad. I'll get that in a second. But I don't want to take too much time away from Sister Charlo. But real quick, Taiwan cuts water supplies amidst drought in over 50 years. So they're actually using water as wars. There's another thing going on in Israel over that. Another report. Listen to this. New York rolls out its first digital COVID-19 vaccine passport in the United States. So they're getting ready to cut. They're getting ready to put together a digital thing. And if you don't have your little thing, just like they're doing over in Israel, you're going to be cut off from stuff. Okay, we have to wait and see what God allows. We do not know what is going to happen, but again, we have got to be ready. Listen to this. Unseasonable snow grips Istanbul following mostly a dry winter, and they show how heavy it was. It is just unbelievable. Listen to this, folks. Oregon health officials are now monitoring 4 people for the Ebola. Did you hear me? Did you also remember what has been prophesied? I hope that you do. Maybe I need to reread some of the Sarah Manet stuff again. Listen to this. New attempt to refloat the ship that's blocking the Suez Canal. Another report that comes out of that. Fears of prolonged Suez Canal blockage drive oil prices higher. Listen to this. There's more. There's other reports that are indicating that food prices and things are going to be soaring in Europe. It's going to cause tremendous problems because of the blockage of that ship. The problem is it got hit. The ships go through very, very slowly through the Suez Canal, very carefully, because these container ships are so humongous and they're susceptible to this, you know, the slightest thing that could happen. Well, guess what? One got hit by a sandstorm with 40 mile per hour sustained winds, and it took the whole thing and just shoved it over to the side and lodged it, and they can't get it loose. And this is very significant, folks. Very significant for world trade. Next one up. Hallelujah. Minnesota Theater scraps the Cinderella production because it's too white and doesn't meet diversity. Folks, I'm hearing this goes, listen to this. Study names 12 most dangerous anti-vaxxers in America. They are now coming after all the anti-vaxxers. They're naming them by names. They're villainizing Robert F. Kennedy. It just goes on. The Sherry Tenpenny, the whole group, every single one of them, they're coming after them. They are turning their guns, folks. Okay, I'm just letting you know. All right, next one. A third of Danish people do not want to get vaccinated against COVID-19 amidst AstraZeneca's blood clot drama, which, by the way, causes people to drop over dead. It just goes on and on. It's just unbelievable. Indian farmers begin 12-hour national shutdown as protests against farm laws enter the fifth month. This is unbelievable. Listen to this. China halts Australian hay imports amidst escalating trade row, which means argument. Okay. And by the way, this is also heading for the United States. China is also starting a trade war with us, basically to punish us for what Donald Trump had done when he had, as he claimed, make America great again. Well, when he imposed the tariffs and such against China, well, guess what? They're saying, okay, well, time, here you go, United States, now's your chance. So, you know, folks, this stuff's getting real ugly. Okay, again, we had the Virginia Beach shooting that occurred just recently. We had the shooting that we talked about on the last show with the 10 people that were, I think it was 10 people that were killed in a supermarket. It's unbelievable the stuff is happening. Now we have Biden coming out in his stupor. We know that they wanted to put in gun control. Now, you know I'm very anti-gun. Okay, you know that I'm very, very anti-gun, that we need to be completely like Jesus, and prayer is our weapon. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds and arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, but we need to hold every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Whew. Talk about the renewing of your mind. 320 ships are stuck in a traffic jam as the Ever Given ship blocks the Suez Canal still. Listen to this. Correct mistakes. China slaps reciprocal sanctions on the United States and Canada amidst the Zhang row, a disagreement. It's getting worse. Venezuelan President Maduro banned from posting on Facebook because he's talking about a COVID-19 remedy. Isn't that special? It just keeps on going. It doesn't get any better. You got the conflict in Myanmar. Oh, by the way, there's another toilet paper shortage that is coming our way, according to the companies out of one in particular called Suzano Sa out of Brazil, which evidently makes the paper pulp for virtually all the toilet paper. And now they're saying that they're having a shortage. So the very place that they get the product to make it from, I mean, it's just unbelievable. Listen to this. Heart attack and brain stroke, main cause of death after the COVID-19 shot. Heart attack and brain stroke. It just gets worse. It just gets worse. Listen to this. Department of Homeland Security, the head of the DHS, purges Homeland Security Advisory Council, ousting all Trump appointees, just firing them. I mean, it just keeps getting worse. This rapper, Lil Nas X's, he has Satan shoes. They have a drop of human blood on them, and it has a pentagram on it. He shows himself in a video. My ex-wife sends me it. I said, don't watch that stuff. Don't watch that stuff. I'm trying to protect it, you know, her and try to get her closer to God if I can. Praise God. But anyway, on that note, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's see if we can bring on Sister Charlo. And you have an extra half an hour, Sister Charlo, if you want it. Okay, praise God. We always reserve that for any of our guests to go all the way to, you know, the like we say 9 to 10, but we have that spare 10 to 10:30 time that you can take as well if you feel led. Praise Jesus. And on that note, let's go ahead and bring her on the program. I am scanning for her number, and I believe I got it. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and bring her on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sister Charlo, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Praise God. I don't know if Sister Nancy told
me.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was agreeing with you. I said, praise God.
Oh, yeah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for those of us who have made so many mistakes, slipped off the narrow path. Praise you, Jesus, for Daniel 11:35, we just thank you. Purify us, make us white, and get us ready for the days ahead, Father. We don't know how long they'll take, but we need to be walking on that narrow path with great fervor and fear you, Father, because while we love you, we have to remember to fear you at the same time. It's very difficult sometimes to remember. Sister Charlo, I'm going to kind of disappear into the background, turn the microphone over to you, and let you just go ahead and share what the Lord has shared with you. Okay, so anyway, the mic is all yours.
Thank you so much. And thank you. I just want to first and foremost give thanks to the Most High God, the one true and living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I just thank him for this opportunity. And also thank you to you, Brother John. And Nancy has been amazing, by the way. I just wanted to say that she is precious. I just want to thank you for making this avenue and this platform available so I can just continue to walk in obedience and what our Heavenly Father has laid upon my heart and the visions and the encounter and everything that he has instructed me to do. So I just wanted to say thank you. And I just want to give thanks. And you may hear a name, I may call a name that may, to listeners, may be unfamiliar. But I just want to say this. The two names that you may hear me say is in Paleo-Hebrew. So in Paleo-Hebrew, I'm just going to slide right into it. In Paleo-Hebrew, when Moses had his burning bush encounter, and, you know, he encountered the Most High, one true and living God, there was a part where he said, well, what is your name? When I go to the Israelites, they're going to ask me your name. What shall we call you? What is your name? And the Most High said this to him, I am that I am. So for those who are not familiar with Paleo Hebrew, no, I do not speak fluently in Paleo Hebrew, but I know the most two important things is the name of the Most High God in Paleo Hebrew and the name of our Lord and Savior, who we know as Jesus Christ in the English language, but in Paleo Hebrew, God's name is Ahaya. So the Most High God, the one true and living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, he's our Lord, hallelujah, and of Jacob, is Ahaya. His son, our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in Paleo Hebrew, his name is Yeshaya. So Ahaya and Yeshaya, isn't that beautiful? A lot of people are not aware of that. So if you hear me say that, I just wanted to lay that on the table and to clarify that for those who are not aware. So it what may sound foreign to you, so I just wanted to lay the foundation of that. Thank you again for having me. I've been praying for everyone, and you know, I have to tell you this part, this amazing part. A week before your invitation, Nancy and you all reached out to me. I have to tell this testimony first, and then I'll go into my encounter about the 11th hour. A week before Nancy contacted me, I was in my living room, and, you know, like many of us should be doing, we should be fasting, we should be praying. So many, it's the signs of the time is evident. So this is a time for sanctification, consecration, and drawing yourselves closer to God. This is not a time to play church. God knows who belongs to him. Amen. So I was praying and crying out to the Most High, Ahaya. So remember I said Ahaya in Paleo Hebrew, his name is Ahaya, and his son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is Yeshaya in Paleo Hebrew. Amen. So Ahaya, the Spirit of the living God, had ministered to me, and he said that you will receive an invite, and I have released you to accept the invite. And I go, whoa. So I was talking to one of the brothers who very often we just talk, we pray together, we message each other. We're just, it's like iron sharpening iron. And he said, Charlo, he said, I know, you know, I'm familiar with Nancy and John. And this was 7 days later. He said, they need to hear this. They need to hear about the 11th hour and your encounter. So 7 days later, after the Spirit of the Living God ministered to my heart that I would get an invitation, and I was instructed to accept it. Our brother, he responded back and he said, listen, Nancy's going to be reaching out to you. And she did, and the rest is history, and here I am. So even in that, the Most High, Ahaya, was merciful, and he knows my heart, because if the invitation would have, you know, just came without him giving me clarity, I don't know if things would have fell in place the way that they did. But isn't he merciful? Isn't he wonderful? Hallelujah. So 7 days later, I get the invitation from you and Nancy, and Nancy said, whoa, that was a quick response. And I said, Nancy, I said, because he already cleared the way. He told me to accept it, that he, the Most High, Ahaya, the most true, one true and living God of the Most High, released me to do this. Because we all want to please our Heavenly Father and walk in his perfect will and walk in obedience unto him. Amen. So in that being said, I just wanted to let you know, John, that Nancy has been amazing as well. And our brother who stood in the gap, who also contribute to this. But most importantly, we give thanks to the Most High. So may this be counted righteous. As I was praying of the things that I wanted to discuss today, there are three encounters that I want to share. Hopefully we'll have time. But the main one that I encountered that I want to start off with is the 11th hour, 3 days of darkness encounter. Now, again, my name is Charlo, and my backstory, maybe, you know, we'll get a chance to touch bases on that a little bit later, but let me go into the encounter. And just to let you know, at a very young age, and my family will tell you, I have had a very peculiar and very unusual life. It has been very challenging. It has been very amazing, very painful, persecuting. There's been many things that I've gone through, and maybe one day I will be able to go more in depth concerning my testimony. It would take hours. So let's just talk about the topic at hand, and that is the 11th hour encounter. Now, before I go into that, I want to explain this. At the time that I had this encounter with the Most High, I was a lukewarm Christian. I was backsliding, then I get warm again. I backslide and I'll get warm again. I get hot and then I backslide. And I live like a heathen. I've done it all, like many of us, and walk in complete, utter disobedience to the Most High. But 20 years ago, I had this encounter. I knew nothing about the 11th hour ministry, okay, 20 years ago. I knew nothing about, because I was not in my word. Body of Christ, please read your word. Don't just rely on the man and the woman of God to do all the work. You have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You talk to God like you just talk to someone on the phone. If you struggle in prayer, start that way. But getting your word from Genesis, Revelations, I would encourage you to do that. That is so vital to your faith and to understand your citizenship as a citizen of heaven. Hallelujah. We thank the Most High for that. So 20 years ago, I had this encounter. I wasn't familiar with the scriptures or none of the sort. I only knew a few things, okay? So one particular night, I went to sleep, okay? But when I went to sleep, I went into a very, very unusual deep sleep. And I thought I was just dreaming, but now I am fully convinced and persuaded I was in the spiritual realm. And by spirit, I stood there on the Sea of Galilee. When I encountered this, like I said, I went to sleep, but it was an unusual sleep. And the next thing I knew, I found myself, I looked up, and there I was. There was no question about my location, because for some reason, my spirit knew where I was. My spirit man recognized the terrain, the territory, and where I was. And I looked at the backdrop of the Sea of Galilee, and I saw mountains and rolling. And it was in the cool of the day, and the breeze was blowing, and the sea was just flowing. It was beautiful. There's no words to describe. And I looked down, and my feet barefooted, and I saw that I had a robe on, and I was standing in the rocks and the dirt. So all of a sudden, when I looked up, I could see the constellation. Now, this was not normal, because it wasn't just your normal, typical constellation that you're looking at. It was like the moon and the stars. I was looking into the heavens. That's the only way I know to describe, to give you a picture, a visual of what I saw. I saw the moon. It was almost as if I could reach out and touch it. I saw the stars, and they were gleaming even brighter than I could ever imagine. And I thought to myself, this is strange, but there's a reason I'm here. Then all of a sudden, when I thought that to myself, I felt the presence, the omnipresence of a Haya, the one true and living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I did not see him, but I was surrounded and subdued with his holy, mighty presence. And then he called my name. He said, Charlotte. And I said, he's calling my name here. There wasn't even really a question of who was calling my name. In the word of truth, it says that my children know my voice, and the voice of a stranger, they will not follow. Instantly, with no doubt and no hesitation, I heard his voice. And when I heard his voice, I knew. I knew. And then he said my name a second time, Charlotte. And I said, this is going to be something serious here. Then he said my name a third time, Charlotte. And I said, yes, Lord, speak. I said, yes, Lord, speak. He said, Sharla, go and tell my children that time is running out. And I said, oh, time is running out. Okay, Father, time is running out. And he paused, and I paused, and I thought about it, and I all of a sudden, immediately, I didn't say no, but I began to go I went on this tangent, right, about all the reasons why I could not go, well, all the reasons why he shouldn't pick me, okay, because I was looking at self, and I was looking at the disappointments and my shortcomings and the way that I lived like a heathen in sin, and I was judging myself, and I was saying, Father, look at all the things that I have done wrong. Father, I am young. Father, I am a woman of color. Father, Father this, Father that. Who is even going to listen to me? And then he got quiet. He let me have my way for a little bit. And I went, you know, like I said, I went on my tangent. I explained to him all the reasons why. He let me have my way for a little bit. And then he finally said, Sharla, I have chosen you. This you must do. Go quickly and tell my children that time is running out. I said, Father, who do I tell that time is running out? He said, those who are called by my name will hearken unto thy words that I have given you. Now go quickly and tell my children that time is running out. Then he took the moon and with his mighty, almighty hand that I did not see, it's like there was a ripple, and then he opened up a portal. And these are English terms that I'm using to describe something spiritual. So just stay with me. I'm just finding the words to explain our extraordinary almighty God. Hallelujah, Ahaya. All praises to the one true and living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he took the moon, he opened up a portal light, and there was a ripple. Thing that I remember was the fervent heat. I remember the fervent heat. And the heat was so hot that if his hand, his mighty hand, was not upon me, the fire, the heat that came out of that, of whatever it was, it would have consumed me. I know it was no doubt. Then when he showed me what was in there, he shut the portal, he shut the ripple, and he shut it up, and to my great horror, I begin to wail and scream and cry out, oh, my God, have mercy. Now, he said, now, go quickly and tell my children that time is running out. And so I said, how? He said, I will lead you. So then all of a sudden, the moon, listen to this, saint, body of Christ, he took the moon and he turned the moon into a 24-hour clock. We know in the word of truth, in the 3 days of darkness back in Exodus, we know that even in Revelations, it talks about the moon not giving its light, and in broad daylight, there will be complete darkness. So it looks like on the actual moon, the appearance of a 24-hour clock, the big hand and the little hand came together, and they were pointing at the number 11. I knew it to be so. And he said, now go quickly, daughter, and tell my children that time is running out. And I don't even know how I traveled. I didn't see that. I don't even know how I moved so swiftly, but I did. I went everywhere I went. People thought I lost my mind. People were telling me I'm crazy. There was complete, utter chaos upon the earth. There was no order. Not even the police can maintain the level of demonic activity that went forth through humanity and the unlawfulness, and there was no order. It was complete chaos. He said, now go quickly and tell my children that time is running out. I went to stores. I went to street corners. I went to people. I went to children. I went to churches. I went to my family. I went to my family, my family. I love my family, my earthly family that my Heavenly Father has given me. But even some of them thought I had lost my mind. And he warned me. He did it to prepare me for the things because he knew how, Heavenly Father knew how I felt about my earthly family. And he knows how they feel about me. So they thought that I needed help. They even mentioned that we will get you a psychiatrist. We will take you and get you some help. I walked into the church, and some of the people were just, they were playing church. They weren't serious about God. It was hypocrisy. It was more like a country club. It wasn't. I was going through churches and people and places and nations, and I was saying, "The time of the Lord thy God is at hand. Repent, repent, for the time of the Lord thy God is at hand, and time is running out. Time is running out." And every time I went, when I went to one church and I went to another church and I went to another person, as I was going swiftly and moving, every periodically I would look up at the moon, which I explained earlier. He turned it into a 24-hour clock. So I did all that I could do. And then at one point, our Heavenly Father said, "Charlotte, there is a haven, a place that I have prepared for my children." I said, "Father, where is this place?" He said, "I will lead you." And at this point, when I turned and looked behind me, after going to the nations and going to the churches, there were people behind me. They were following me. Some were human. Listen to this. Some were human, and some were full-fledged demons. How do I know that? Because when the hand, the anointing of our Heavenly Father touched me, he opened up my sight, the sight of my spirit, the ears of my spirit. I could hear their thoughts. That's how I knew. And I said, "Surely not all of these is yours, Father." He said, "Go quickly. I've prepared a haven, a place." So I went. I said, "How will I go?" He said, "Pick up thy rod and thy staff, and I will lead you to this place." I said, "Where is thy rod and thy staff?" He said, "There it is." So I saw it, and it was illuminated, and it was shining, and it was laying there. And I reached down, and I grabbed it. And I grabbed it with my right hand. He said, "Now go." So it's like the dream. I don't even want to say dream. It shifted. And all of a sudden, we're standing in some wilderness. I don't even know how to explain this place. All I know is it was a haven. It was a shelter. It had a few windows at the top. I don't even know how to describe the windows, but there were no doors, okay? And so I said, "Where's the door, Father? How are they going to enter in?" He said, "My remnant will enter in. Take up thy rod and thy staff and extend it out in your right with your right hand." So I extend out the rod and the staff. I had it in my right hand, extended out. All of a sudden, the door appeared. Huge door. This place was huge. And the door opened up, and it had this sound like, "Err." I mean, I don't even know how to explain it. I'm just trying to give you a visual and a sound of, I wish you could have, I don't know if you could handle seeing what I saw, but I'm just trying my best to explain something spiritual in this great encounter. Amen. So I turned around and I said, "Again, Father, not all of these are yours. This remnant is not, all of them are not yours." He said, "Take thy rod and thy staff and hit the ground." And I turned around and I took the rod, thy staff in my right hand, and I hit the ground. And when I hit the ground, my mouth opened up, but what came out of my mouth was not my voice. It was not my voice, and it was in another language. And the Most High rebuked them. He rebuked them. And when he rebuked them, the ones that were not human, that appeared in human form, they changed and they became hideous, and they fled 7 different ways. I saw it. And I looked up at the clock and I said, "Oh, Father, we don't have," I'm thinking to myself and thinking to our Heavenly Father, "we don't have much time." And then I turned and looked at them, and he instructed them to enter into this haven, that the angels will guide and lead, that light will be provided, food and water. This is their shelter. Do not leave this haven until instructions have been given. Now, saints, I'm telling you, I knew nothing about the 3 days of darkness. I had no clue at this point. This was 20 years ago, okay? So then he said, extend out thy rod and thy staff and close the door. So I extended out my rod and staff, and the door was, so he said, don't enter, Charlotte. Don't enter the haven. Now, some of you say, whoa, you didn't go in. No, he instructed me not to go in. Are you going to disobey the Most High God? Are you going to disobey Ahiah, the one true and living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel? No, I don't think so. We get a little brave here on this earth, but when you encounter him in the spiritual realm, it's a whole nother plane. It's a whole nother, whew. So I did that. All of a sudden, no longer was it at the 11th hour. The big hand on the 24-hour clock, which used the moon, it hit the 12 people. It hit 12. And when it hit the 12, the earth shook. There was an earthquake. Now, I did not see this, but I heard it. I heard a star, an angel, falling from heaven with the keys of the bottomless pit. I heard it. Now, remember I told you, the Most High, true and living God, he opened up my sight. That was the sight of my spirit and my hearing. And then the earth shook, and the ground broke open, and all of a sudden, smoke, sulfur, the smell, I can't even begin to use human words to describe the smell of what I smelled, and complete, utter darkness fell. Time had run out. Still had the rod and the staff in my hand. And when I looked up, the locusts, now I know what they are. Before, I didn't know. I had no clue. There are no human words to describe these things, these demons, these creatures, these locusts. There's no human words. They came crawling out, and they had it's like they had a great excitement. They had a great joy. I could feel. Remember my sight, my senses, everything was enhanced by the Most High. And I knew their thoughts. They have been waiting for this hour. They have been hoping for this hour. And I fell to my knees and I began to cry out. I began to cry out. I began to cry out for the people, the unbelievers. I begin to cry out for those who said it wasn't true, who thought it was a game. I begin to cry out for even those who knew and they had sold themselves to the fallen one. And I wept. I bitterly, 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 I wept. I wept, and our Heavenly Father asked me a question. This is the thing that of seeing the locust, of seeing the darkness fall and standing there, the thing that really frightened me more than anything is his question and our Heavenly Father's response to me. He said, Sharla, why are you weeping? Why do you weep? And I said, Heavenly Father, it's too late. It's too late. I've done. I did what you asked me to do. I told the people. I warned them. It was too late. And the locusts had already fled to do what they were ordained to do. And that is to rape. Listen to this. Torture, kill, devour. They hurt not the grass or the trees or the flowers. That's not what they were instructed to do. In Revelation, they were instructed to pour out to execute the Father's judgment and wrath upon the world. So they went after man. If you were not filled by the Holy Spirit, then that is what I saw. That is what they faced. He said, Charlotte, why do you weep? I said, Father, because it's too late. He said, Charlotte, weep not, because their blood is not required of your hands. Their blood, whose blood? Their blood is not required of your hands. So whose blood is he talking about? He's talking about those who rebelled. He's talking about those who sold themselves out to the fallen one. He's talking about those who refused to repent, those who played church and weren't really Christians. On the outside, they lay in front of the congregation on the floor, make themselves look holy, shout like they're holy, dance like they're holy, but they are not. Their blood is not required. Those who I warn, those who are listening today, this is your warning. I'm being obedient to our Heavenly Father. Time is running out. This is not a game. This is not a joke. The Most High is real. The Bible is real. These are not just fabricated stories. This is our history. What I mean by our history, because he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. No one can contain him, not the heavens and not the earth. His throne is seated above the heavens. No one can contain him. Ahaya, in Paleo Hebrew. Ahaya, Asha, Ahaya. I am that I am. And his only begotten son that you know as Jesus is Yeshaya. Time is running out. I was brought on this broadcast by the mercy seat of the Most High God to plead with you all. It's time to put away childish things. When you were a child, you spoke as a child, you act like a child. But when you grew up in your spirit, in your spirit man, you were no longer a child. Our Heavenly Father is giving us all the time that he can possibly give us. So when you're standing before the judgment throne of the Most High, when you look up and you see the lamb that was slain, the lion of the tribe of Judah, and you see the 24 elders, and you say, oh, and the books are open up, and you're standing there. Your mother won't be standing with you. Your father won't be standing with you. Your husband nor your wife will be standing, not even your children. You will be standing in the courts of heaven. And the books of life will open up. No man can stop it. Not one. No man can put someone in heaven, and no man can put someone in hell. You yourself, by your God-given will, must make the decision. Who will you serve? Will you serve the Most High God, Ahaya, or will you serve Mammon? Time is running out. Some of the scriptures about the 3 days of darkness and the 11th hour, we see it clear in Exodus 10. We see that during the 3 days of darkness, that people, instructions, even in Exodus, the Most High had given them instructions on what to do, to take refuge. And it's even in the word of truth. Beloved, get in the word. It is a great mystery, but through the Holy Spirit, if you truly desire and want it, if you hunger for righteousness, our Heavenly Father will open up your understanding. There's mysteries and dimensions and depth information in this word of truth. In Isaiah 26, 20 and 21, take refuge from the coming judgment. In there, it talks about how the how we will hide ourselves and close our faces and hide in the chamber, because the judgment of the Most High will come upon the face of the earth, Isaiah 26, 20 and 21. And then he goes into detail to tell you exactly what he's going to do to the wicked in Isaiah chapter 27. Hallelujah. 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 Beloved, get your house in order. Beloved, warn your friends. Warn your family. They're going to chastise you. They're going to mock you. They're going to make fun of you. They're going to say you've lost your mind. They're going to say you're crazy. But it's worth it. In the end, it's worth it. I look foolish to many people. I look foolish to many people. But I'd rather be God's fool than the devil's fool. I'd rather be God's fool. I'd rather look foolish to man and be a servant of God, but be deceived by the fallen one, the enemy, and sit in heaven. Not sit in heaven, but sit in hell, being tortured and being a fool there. I'd rather be foolish and look foolish to man. It's worth it. In the end, it's worth it. Hallelujah. So if you want to know the instructions, what this 3 days of darkness is all about, getting your word, read about what happened with the Hebrew Israelites. It will happen again. The ninth plague, the 3 days of darkness, it actually has a name. Go in the word. You'll read it in Exodus. It's called the ninth plague. The ninth plague is the 3 days of darkness. When Moses went and told Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh's heart, it said God, Ahiah, hardened Pharaoh's heart. And he did not want to release the Hebrew Israelites that were in slavery for 400 years. So 3 days of darkness fell. And it used, hallelujah, the blood of the Lamb over the two doorposts and the lintel. And it says that In Exodus, the Lord, listen to this, the Lord thy God went into the house. He didn't just pass over, hallelujah, as we celebrate, happy Passover, beloved, as we celebrate Passover, he didn't just pass over the house. No, the word said he went in, the Lord thy God went and saw the blood on the lintel. He didn't just pass over, he went into their home. To say, this one's marked, this one belongs to me. Yep. And guess what was coming behind the Lord thy God? This says the devourer. The devourer. So the only way that you're going to come out refined like gold, it's going to take the blood of the Lamb of our Savior. Who is our Savior? You know him as Jesus, but in Paleo Hebrew, his name is Yeshaya. Means our Savior Christ. Yeshaya. You need Yeshaya's blood, his sacrificial body and his blood covenant promise sealed by the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I also want to tell you this, and this is going to shock you. I prayed and I asked the Most High, what are the things that you want me to mention? He said there's three encounters. It was one about the 11th hour. The other encounter. That he want me to mention, and I won't go into too much detail. All I can tell you is that prepare yourselves. I hope you're sitting down. No, I haven't lost my mind. I just decided to go deeper. And when you see the prophets and the prophetess, the true worshipers, the true believers, followers of the one true and living God, and they tell you something just like the days of old, they did not listen. They did not listen. You know the story about the rich man and the poor man. The rich man went to hell. He was tortured. The poor man went into the bosom of Abraham. The rich man said, please, let me go back and warm my family. Please give me water to drink. Or let me go back and tell my brothers, do not come to this place. And you know what the Most High said? No. They have the prophet. So there will be no excuse. You will not be able to stand and justify your sin in the courts of heaven. You know who will be there that day? In the books of life, the angels, the seraphim, the cherubim, the Most High on his throne, the Lamb of the Most High God, Yeshaya sitting on his right hand, and the 24 elders and the creatures, they're all in the cloud of witnesses. They all are watching us to this very moment. They are listening to me warn you right now. Right now. The other thing he wanted me to mention is about the ark. I can't fully, with the time, and I can't fully go into it, but I want you to prepare yourselves for this. No man has revealed this to me. The Most High himself has revealed it to me. There are three arcs. Yes, three. You know of the two. The third hasn't come yet. Hear the word of the Lord thy God. He is not a liar. He let every man be a liar and let God be true. There is a third ark that is coming, and it will appear during the rapture. You just heard it. You just heard it. And those who are religious and you're shaking your head and you're struggling with that seed of religion, you better cast it out. You better get it far from you or you're going to miss it. See, you believe in the first ark and the second ark because we know it already happened. The first ark is Noah's ark of gopher wood in Genesis 7 when the great flood came. The second ark of the covenant is in Exodus 25. And we know that it's the golden ark. It was made of acacia wood, and then it was sculpted, and then they use it as that wood as the actual sculpt, and then they mold gold on top of it to make the they use the acacia wood as the sculpt that they needed in order to mold the gold. So of acacia wood, and then they mold it into gold. That is the second ark of the covenant. There's a mystery revealed about the Ark of the Covenant when David danced out of his clothes, bring the Ark of the Covenant back into the city of David. Do you not know the reason why David danced? Even many pastors still don't know. They say, oh, he danced. They read the scripture, but do you know that was a prophetic declaration of the end times, what will happen when the third Ark flies in? Pray about it. I saw it. If you want to know why I say that, I don't have time to tell you the whole, maybe I'll get an opportunity to come on again and I can go in detail. I saw it. I saw the angels. They were doing the final preparation. They told me, I walked around. I was in the entryway. I said, this is the ark. So people who go to church who have their faith in the building, that's made of wood. Noah's Ark won't work for you anymore. We're past Noah's Ark. And those who hold on to their crosses and put their golden crosses on their necks and you hang pictures of Jesus on your walls, and I know this is a shock to you, but I have to, sometimes you have to know the truth. Those golden crosses and things like that that you hang up, those will not save you. They will not. You cannot hide your heart from the Most High. In the light of his coming, do you know? I left my body. I was in a car wreck over three years ago. I went to heaven. I saw it. I went to Eden. That's a whole nother story. But the one with concerning the ark, it was bright light, the light of his coming. I saw the light. I saw the gate of the ark. I wasn't allowed to see the full outside. I wasn't allowed. But the angels told me, and the angels were there. The saints were there. They were working together. They were making the final preparations for his return. Now you say, oh, my goodness, there's a third ark. How could that be? We do not have time for your religious, your intellect, that God bless you with brains, for you to go to university, get your education. That's a gift. That's a gift that God has given you. All praises. We thank God for that, that he made a way. But to understand spiritual things, he reveals by his spirit. And the only way for you to understand these things is to draw closer to the Father. That is the only way. There's no other way. The Holy Spirit reveals. And through the Holy Spirit, in the spiritual realm. We will be caught up in the air. And do you know when we're the Holy Spirit is the seal mentioned in Revelation. The Holy Spirit is the seal. It is the seal mentioned in Revelation 9. And we also know that the golden ark of the covenant, which is the second ark, everything that Aaron and the Levi priest did was a reflection of things to come. It was in open sight. The cherubim with the wings. He will mount us up with wings. He will give us strength, and we will mount up. We will mount up like, what is it, eagle's wing. So the cherubim, the Holy Spirit seals us. When the Holy Spirit lifts from the earth, those who are baptized in the Holy Spirit will lift from the earth. We will meet the Yeshua, Jesus Christ, up in the air. He will meet us there, and we will be sealed in the third ark. If you do not believe me, go and study it. Study your word. David danced. He was making a prophetic proclamation of the end times. He came up out of his clothes in the Galilean wedding. Go search, read the word of truth. Go study about the Galilean wedding. The third ark is revealed in the mystery of the wedding. Everything that our Heavenly Father has done is strategic. His calculations are perfect. He created math. His calculations are perfect. He has been preparing us all this time. From Genesis to Revelation, he is strategic. So those who believe in the church buildings, that if you just go in the church, the wood, the representation of the wood, the Noah's Ark has already gone past. The wood is rotted. The wood will not save you. The building will not save you. The second ark is the ark of the covenant that contained manna. The inside of it contained Aaron's staff, manna, and the tablet stone with the encarved Ten Commandments. Look in the spirit, with the spirit of the living God through the Holy Spirit. Don't listen with your natural mind, because your natural mind cannot convey this. It will fight you. It will fight you. The third ark is yet to come. Go study about the Galilean wedding. Go read about the Levi priest. Even Aaron, the symbolism of the Holy Spirit of the seal. Listen to this. Aaron in Exodus 28, he took a gold plate that said, "Holiness to the Lord," was mounted on his turban in the middle of his forehead. This is the same representation of the seal that is foreshadowing, that's mentioned in Revelation 9. Go read it. Every act, everything that they did in the Holies of Holies and so on was a prophetic proclamation of what is yet to come. Last but not least, I wish I can go more into that, but I have to move on and tell you. So, yes, there is a third ark. We can go through scriptures. I can show you there is a third ark. I have not lost my mind, saints. If you've been wondering how is it going to happen, first the Holy Spirit will lift. Just like when they carried the ark, they took the two poles and they lift the ark. The Holy Spirit will lift, and it will be caught up in the air, transformed bodies. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll meet our Savior, Yeshua, in the air, and then we will be sealed in the ark. He has been trying to prepare a saint, and people are not getting it. No more wooden ark, no more golden ark, but this thing is by his Spirit that will happen. It will happen. It's not made of wood that's already passed. It's not made of gold. This will be of the Spirit of the living God himself, Ahiah. And we will meet Yeshua up in the air, and we will be sealed in the ark, carried off to New Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The last thing that I want to share with you, and my family, we all know about this. This is a sign that the Most High God, Ahiah, gave me and my family, is a testament that he is real. So I'll go quickly as I can. I had an encounter. I went to heaven. Listen to this, saints. Yes, yes, yes. I was taken to heaven. And this is how I know it is true. I went into a mansion, and in this mansion there were saints, there were angels, there were people that I believe were my loved ones that I don't even know how to explain that part. But each room, I went into room after room after room, and I was given tools. I was given instructions. And the last room that I went into, and my family knows about this, we're still in shock to this day of the sign that the Most High has given us. So I went into this last room, okay? And in this last room that I enter into, there was a set of twins, a boy and a girl. In front of me was the little girl. They looked about the age of 5, okay? The reason why I knew that they were a boy and a girl because he had on blue, she had on pink, so it's obvious. So both of them were twins, okay? So the little girl did all the talking. The boy did, he was the listener and the observer, okay? She began to talk to me. By the way, when everyone that I encountered in heaven that spoke to me, their mouths never moved. They have no need. They're by spirit. They're not by flesh. So they smiled, their eyes blinked, but their mouths never moved, but they spoke to me, okay? So there was an exchange, an encounter of their consciousness into my consciousness. Words were spoken, but mouths never moved. So I just wanted to share that a thing about heaven, you won't even have to move your mouth because you won't have flesh. We'll be in our glorified bodies. Hallelujah. So the little girl spoke. She gave me information. I looked at her. I said, wait a minute, you look like family. She said, yes. She said, and we're waiting to be born. Yes, we're waiting to be born. And she gave me some information. I said, okay. I said, well, I guess after I woke up, certain things when the Most High is dealing with me, when he takes me to heaven and he gives me information, there's certain things that he will fill up for a time and season, and then later on he'll release it. And he has his reasons for everything that he does. Hallelujah. We give thanks for that. So I don't mess it up. Amen. So she gave me information, and I could not go back the way that I came. So there was another door on the other side of the room. And I looked at the twins, and I said, well, I guess I will be seeing you soon. So I went out the other door, and I entered into this huge, like, auditorium. There is no words to describe this. It wasn't even a cathedral. Nothing can compare to this, I guess you want to say, church building, hall, whatever, our interpretation, right, our interpretation. So I looked around. There was hundreds and thousands of people in heaven. They were all sitting around talking about us. They were talking about Earth, the activities, everything that was going on. Down here we have YouTube. We have television. We have social media. Up there, they know, they watch Earth. They watch Earth. And everything, the activity that's going on in the spiritual realm, that's what they do up there. They know exactly what's going on. They're the first to get the news. They're with the Most High. They're the first one. So they were having a discussion about Yeshua and his goodness and all that the Most High had done for them. And I looked up at the front, and there was my stepfather who drowned. Excuse me. There was my stepfather who drowned trying to save 3 other people, which was my uncle and my uncle's 2 nephews, which was his best friend. But he was more than a friend. He was an uncle. And they all 4 drowned in a pool. So my stepdad who raised us, he was a pastor, a man of God. He had turned his life around. He was preaching and teaching the word of truth. He was there. I saw him. He stood up and he waved his hand and he said, come here. I went to him and I was in shock. I was in tears. I said, you're here. He said, yes. So to make a long story short, he gave me messages. Listen to this. He gave, and I can't tell you these personal messages. He gave messages for my siblings and my mom, and I've already given them the messages. And then he said, you know that Jesus is real now, don't you? I said, yes, I know Jesus is real. He said, go back and tell them that Jesus is coming soon. Go back and tell them. He said, you can't stay any too much longer now. You must go back. And we began to walk through the cloud. And he was taking me to the gate. Yes, there's a gate to heaven, and there's a gate to hell. That's a whole nother encounter that I've had. He was walking me to the gate.
He even knew my sister-in-law. He knew her name. He even said her name, that my brother, beautiful woman she is, he even said her name and knew about her. How did he know about her? He's passed. You see, he said her name. So this is the thing he said. Go back and tell them that Jesus is coming back soon. Yeshua is coming back soon. Time is running out. He is real. And as he walked me to the gate, he said, one more thing I want to tell you this, daughter. I said, yes, Dad. I said, yes. He said, bring back home as many people as you can. I said, Dad, I will. I will. I will try. I will try. I will try to bring back as many people. I will tell as many people as I can. I promise. I promise. I will try to tell them. I will do my best. I'll do everything. I will do everything that I can to tell them. He said, bring back as many as you can. As many as you can. Now, 3 days later with Thanksgiving, and our Thanksgiving is not that Thanksgiving. We don't honor violence to the Native Americans. My dad's family, they are part Native American, not Cherokee, Navajo. Father revealed that. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your revealing Holy Spirit. So we just give thanks for what our Heavenly Father has done for us. So my cousin called my aunt and my aunt put him on speakerphone. And my mom was sitting there. By the way, after I had the dream, I woke up crying and I called, and my mom knew. She was the only witness to what I had encountered. She said, wow. I said, Mom, do you know if anybody's pregnant? She said, no, not that I know of. So 3 days later, we're all sitting there about to eat our food. We're sitting around. My cousin and his wife call. He said, Mom, we have an announcement to make. We have an announcement to make. Is everybody sitting around? They couldn't make it for Thanksgiving. He said, well, since this is Thanksgiving, we want to give thanks for what the Most High Ahaya has done for us. He said, Mom, is everybody there? Is everybody listening? She said, yes, go ahead. He said, me and my wife are pregnant with twins. 3 days later, after being in heaven, seeing my stepdad, being instructed to warn the people, promising him I'll bring back as many as I can. 3 days later, the announcement on Thanksgiving Day, this was 2 years ago, was made that they were pregnant with twins. And me and my mom screamed. Me and my mom screamed. We were in shock, utter shock. And my aunt was like, whoa, wait, what's going on with you two? My aunt didn't know. They didn't know. Only my mom was a witness to what I encountered, because she said, well, on Thanksgiving, why don't you give the personal messages that he gave you? She said, I believe you. She said, I believe you. Give the message. If that's what he told you to do, do it. So I gave the messages after we explained the encounter. And I said, cousin, I said, how far along is the babies? Listen to this. The babies were 3 months. She was, well, not the baby, well, how long the fetus is, sorry. She was 3 months pregnant. I said, when do you go to the doctor? She said, next week. I said, I already met them. She said, well, what do you mean? We explained. I said, you are having a boy and a girl. I've met them in heaven. Their spirit. This was a sign that God is real. Their spirit, I met them. They were waiting to be born. I've held those babies. They're 2 years old now. I've held them in my arms. And I looked at them. I said, yeah, we've met before. when you're able to talk, we got some talking to do. I have some questions that need to be answered, twins. They're alive, well walking, beautiful babies, beautiful. So, saints, beloved, get your house in order. Be encouraged. Have faith, walk in obedience, be steadfast. Go back to the place, the holy place. Where is the holy place, Charlotte? Go further back before you were born. Go back to the place when you first came, your spirit came into being with his being, and there we were. Most High, the Creator, Ahaya, Ahaya, Asher, Ahaya, I am that I am. And all praises to his son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua. All glory and praises be unto them. Saints, beloved, brothers and sisters, time is running out.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hey, will you please close with a prayer for us tonight? Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, we want to just take this moment to say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to change, to accept your Son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, as our Lord and Savior in his covenant promises. We give glory, honor, and praise to who you are. Thank you for all that you've done and everything that you are about to do. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the harvesters. Bless them. Give them strength. And Father, bless us and give us the mercy and the grace to be counted worthy, to be received by your Son, Yeshua. Oh, Ahaya, Asha, Ahaya. One true and living God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we worship you. Those who are listening, Father, let the seed be planted in good soil, good ground, and may it grow. May they take heart and they take these words serious and they hit the ground running with no more excuses. No more excuses, Father. Bless us. Watch over us. Keep us. Give us favor with man. Protect us. We need you now more than ever. We need you now more than ever. Oh, God, have mercy on the body of Christ. Have mercy upon this work. Have mercy. We ask for this, your mercy, your mercy, your mercy, and your Son's holy name in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Messiah, Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Charlo, for joining us tonight. What a powerful program, a powerful warning, some really interesting things. For us to be able to, you know, be good Bereans and search the scripture daily to see if it is so. Acts 17:11. Praise God. Thank you for the warning. And also, yes. You know, I think maybe for some people a wake-up call. And the Lord has been working on me. Yes. And I couldn't agree more. You know, let every man seek out his own salvation with fear and trembling. It's, yes. I think, one of the riskiest things, and it's happened to me. is to fall so in love with the Lord that you start to take things a little bit for granted. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that can be a real problem, because when you lose that necessary fear of God and, you know, because as you know, churchianity will oftentimes intentionally adjust or embellish the meaning of the word fear of God, and they'll say, well, that's really a reverent, you know, that's a reverent fear, you know, kind of thing. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's fear of going to hell is what it is. And it's like, you know, you got to maintain that. And it's hard for people because we are brought up in a society where, you know, fear and love don't go hand in hand, but it's part of that sanctification process. It's, one of the guys that used to help me do the radio show years ago had a great little analogy. He said, you know, the current, you know, so think of the Holy Spirit, the current doesn't flow unless you have the negative terminal and the power and the positive terminal, the red and the black, both have to be connected to the battery or else the current doesn't flow. So you got to have a little bit of both to keep you in alignment. And sometimes, you know, you can get so one of my problems, and I admit it, I'm very wear my heart on my sleeve type of a person, because I think, it's kind of like applied Christianity. I spent my whole life in churchianity where the preacher would go up on the stage and jump around and be real happy and talk real great things about Jesus, but there was no conviction. There was no warning about hellfire. There's none of that. Think you probably experienced it yourself. And it's not until you start searching through the word on your own and really seeking God that you have that chill that comes down and you're starting to read it and you're going, oh man, this is not what I was being preached the last 30 years, you know? And it's chilling. it's scary. Mm-hmm. And but at the same time, you know, if we can somehow draw in, you know, I admit it, folks, it's a paradox. There's a lot of paradoxes in the Bible, but it will come together if you seek him and you fear
Amen.
God and
Amen.
You reverently love him and
yes.
you fall in love with him. It is the greatest commandment, and to fall in love with Jesus
yes.
so much so that yes. it breaks your heart when you mess up. It should break your heart. Godly sorrow should be
yes.
a part of all of our lives. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. What a powerful, awesome, wonderful message. God bless
you,
Charlotte.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. It is such an honor. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you all. We will see you Wednesday night, Lord willing. God bless you.
Awesome. Can't wait to hear. God bless you, John.
Pray for me.
Thank you.
I'll pray for you too. Pray
yes,
for the saints.
Definitely.
Pray for the lost. Pray.
Lord, we come to you with repentant hearts. We seek you with all our might. Sinners at the mercy of grace, redeemed we are by your embrace. Praise his holy name. Praise the King of Kings. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? For you we will endure until you come back for your bride to set her free. Write our names in your book of life. We are cleansed through your holy sacrifice as we lift your name on high. Renew our mind, renew our soul. Remove the scars from our past and deem us righteous. We rebuke all deceptive lies. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. We are the branches on a living tree. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. Until you come back for your bride to set her free. Watch us as we trim our wicks. Our lamps are full, our hearts are full. Five white virgins we will be. Your bride awaits thee patiently. Longing for that blessed sound, the dead will rise, the churches gather. We're praying that we're worthy, Lord, to join our family. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? We will endure, and while we wait, we will bring forth the fruit of the light of Christ. When will your coming be? When will your trumpet sound for me? Till then, we will endure. Until you come back for your bride to set her free. Thank you.
I shall lift my obedient children to the clouds, for they shall see my glory.